I never knew before the perfect fullness and abundance of life as I know it now. I am a woman in years, but my spirit is young and joyous, and the realization shines forth through my eyes in such an unmistakable way that my friends comment upon it and rejoice to think that mine own has come to me. Mine own refers to my life work, which I am eager to take up. I am not impatient. How could one be impatient or restless in such a life as this? But a short time ago it was winter to me, and I was passing through the great change which men term death. It is summer now. I am seated beneath the trees surrounding my home. I catch the fragrance of flowers and the melody of angelic music floating upon the breeze. Two dear sisters who passed to the higher life years ago are with me, and one whom I never knew in earth, life, but who calls herself my guardian angel. I like the idea of guardian angels. It is beautiful to think that when we come into life we are given a beautiful being to watch over us and guide us through life. How they must grieve for us at times, when we are wicked and rebellious and hard to influence in the right way. During the short time I have known her, I have learned to love the dear one who has watched over me. I know that she must have been sorely tried many times during the years she has watched over me. I am sure I shall try to repay her for her kindness to me throughout the years by learning from her all she has to impart in the higher lessons of truth, love, and wisdom. How strange it is that the words appear, as they take shape in my mind, upon the page before me, without the use of my hands to transcribe my thoughts. My spiritual vision is wonderful. It seems I can see for miles and miles, buildings, trees, bodies of water, or mountains cut no figure, for I can see right through them. One would naturally think, with such a power as that, it would distract my thoughts and keep my mind from becoming concentrated, but it does not. I can carry on a conversation with the dear ones about me here with my mind and behold what is happening, near and afar, without being confused. Now and then I see a message in the air transcribed to me by the power of mind. Sometimes it is vibrated consciously by the sender, and then again it comes without the sender's being aware of the fact that I have received a message. The unconscious ones usually come from those I have known and loved on the earth, who have no idea that a thought sent by them can reach me. As I revel in the beauty of my surroundings, I catch the flash of this message: Rose the sunlight, we await your coming in the temple of supreme power. Prepare to receive the power of the Spirit. Hosea Lumina, Master of Power. This message means that I must go at once to the place mentioned. I have never been there, but I have no fear but what I shall be able to reach the place, even though I go without a guide. Immediately I catch the flash of another message: Your friends may accompany you. Accept the vibration of divine power as it is flashed to you. In less than a minute I am conscious of a wonderful power, which seems to pass through every part of my being until I am aglow with the most wonderful life, force, I have ever known. It seems to me I have power enough to do almost anything I make up my mind to carry out. Of course, I do not understand the perfect meaning of this new power. Probably I shall understand it better after I have passed through the wonderful experiences now awaiting me. Everything is so wonderful and new to me that I find myself using the expression, Chapter 5, in the spiritual and celestial worlds. Gradually the great aim and purpose of my life became apparent to me and I was happy in the realization, for it furnished me with something good and helpful for every second of existence. How exceedingly small and narrow seemed the condition of material life in comparison to the works found in spiritual and celestial life. With this thought in mind, how important it seemed that we of the better life should reach down to humanity and help material life to grow wiser, stronger, broader, and better. What a wonderful satisfaction to the soul to know that it has helped even one child of humanity to find the light that leads to immortality and truth. I found pleasure and satisfaction in every detail of my new and wonderful existence. The life seemed new and old to me at the same time. I fitted into everything so well that came up before me that it was as though I had in some peculiar way been always a part of the spiritual life, and then it seemed new because there was always being brought up before me something new, wonderful, and fascinating. The soul seemed to be continually preparing itself to assimilate some great truth, some new wonder that could not be comprehended unless the understanding had been prepared to receive it. I compared my soul knowledge to the growth, development, and unfoldment of a rosebud, and when I had grown, unfolded, and developed and blossomed into some sublime and wonderful conception of the higher life, there was a new rosebud forming that would reveal some greater truth in its blossoming. It was wonderful to think of, and yet how perfectly natural that it should be so, in a world where the very air was fragrant with the power of progress. Receptive souls breathed in power as they mingled freely in the life of the spirit. The souls in the great life of the beyond were in number as mighty as the sands of the ocean, and comprehended only by the infinite powers of creation. I longed to bring a small part of heaven down to the earth to the loved ones and the friends who had known and loved me when I wore the garments of the flesh, and so I was given the privilege and the power to bear a message to earth, a message telling humanity of the wonderful life beyond the grave that God, power had prepared for the reception of the soul after its period of probation on the earth plane, and so, as a message, bearer and mediator between those I knew on the earth and the powers of the higher life, I was appointed to carry out a great work between heaven and earth. I was expected to explore all parts of the earth, visit all planetary systems CF space and learn the nature of life and conditions found up less than in them. I was to inform myself on all matters pertaining to my own plane of existence, and, as I gained a thorough understanding of spiritual conditions in general, I was informed that I must prepare myself to penetrate those mysterious realms where only gods of power and angelic beings of high degree reigned. The honor was one that no progressive soul could refuse, and the thought was born anew in my heart that I should make myself worthy such an honor by doing much good work and by making myself a higher manifestation of goodness, truth, love, intelligence, and spirituality than ever before. And so, with this thought in my mind, I entered into every duty brought up before me with great enthusiasm. If ever a person loved his work, I loved mine. I loved to feel that with all the blessings that had come into my life, I was to be given the power to help someone to enjoy them with me and to gain wisdom that would be helpful to them in their own progress toward higher things. I spent considerable time on the earth influencing and impressing certain ones that I had been given charge over. I never felt impatient in relation to any plan that I desired to accomplish, for I knew that whatsoever the God, powers had appointed me to carry out would be brought about, sooner or later. I belong to no less than 25 classes for the study and understanding of physical, spiritual, and celestial conditions. Each of these classes was under the supervision of an artist in his particular line. One class was devoted to their study and understanding of the human body. One part of each day was devoted to hospital work and reviewing the interior of the physical system in its many peculiar conditions. This was necessary, since I would be at some time in the future a guardian angel, and would be called upon to assist the spiritual form from the body. I found that by exercising one faculty of my being I could look within a physical body and behold the spiritual, mental, and physical system. I could see a great deal which even the dissecting knife could not reveal to the eye of the physician or the student who viewed the interior remains. I realized how inadequate was the physician's art in discovering many causes of disease or inharmony of the body. I was dismayed when I realized to what extent the physician experiments upon the human body. Had I been in touch with an earthly physician who prescribes strong drugs and the frequent use of a surgeon's knife, I would have endeavored to point out the fallacy of such a form of treatment in the cure of inharmony of the body. One subject that interested me greatly was the law of union between the sexes and family. I always believed there was no marrying or giving in marriage on the other side of life. I found there was a higher expression of the law of union. Every soul in that life found his soul companion, and together they would go on throughout all eternity, progressing higher through ages of time. The soul companionship was beautiful and inspiring and intense in its spirituality. Sometimes ceremonies were held when two soul mates came together, or when two were united that had been properly mated on the earth. A higher law than the marriage law brought souls intended for each other together, the law which made them one in the sight of God. I have attended many grand soul unions where the beloved Josie Pound presided and the divine ruler of the spheres. O my earthly friends, think of receiving the spiritual blessing of these grand beings in the presence of the one to whom you have been united in the sight of God. Such an experience would be of sufficient power to inspire two souls with the realization that they had indeed been blessed for all time. I could think of nothing grander than to have either of these great personages present at some future day when the one of earth from whose side I had departed joined me in the summer land. Sweet was the companionship that I enjoyed with the first wedded companions of the one to whom I had also been a wife. From her and the two dear children, the fruits of the union, I gained many sweet and inspiring lessons, and some of the time we dwelt in a home together. This dear one, whom angels called Emma the Starbeam, had been in the higher life for many years. She had watched her two spiritual blossoms develop and unfold before her very eyes. It was interesting to me to learn of the experiences of her life. P. 43. Chapter 6. In the spiritual and celestial worlds, I was impressed from the beginning with the social conditions and forms of employment in the spiritual and heavenly worlds. The drudgery and manual labor of the material world were done away with the, although all people passing into that life clung for a while to the form of employment they had liked while in the physical body. H. The form of employment in which they had engaged did not exist in the spiritual world. They sought someone of the earth engaged in their line of work and endeavored to work through them, in some cases by way of impression and in others by taking possession of the physical form. Some work carried on in this way was exceedingly important and greatly benefited the material world and its inhabitants. Those who had been physicians, lawyers, financiers in material life took up the study of their work from a higher viewpoint, in order that they might help those engaged in a similar work upon the physical plane. I was delighted with the systematic order and harmony of spiritual existence. From the first sphere up, everyone occupied the place for which he was fitted. Many who had been unrecognized upon the earth plane were bright and shining lights in the higher life, and many who had been millionaires or kings on earth were spiritual paupers in the world of higher law and justice. It would seem as though there were great problems to be solved in the lower spheres, where wicked and undeveloped spiritual beings were daily received. Rebellious and wicked these spirits were at first and exceedingly hard to manage, frequently returning to the earth to torment or torture some weak physical body. What a labor of love for God and his unfortunate children was being rendered daily by large, sealed men and women who worked and taught in the lower spheres, endeavoring to show the sinful spirits the way of the truth and the light that would lead them up to a higher realization of the duty they owed themselves and their fellow men. Some spiritual beings were slow in their progress and some moved forward rapidly. Some were thousands of years passing through one sphere, while others progressed through several spheres in 10 or 12 months. In endeavoring to reform the criminal in spirit, particular attention is given to the cause that made him a criminal before he passed from his physical body. If he has been born a criminal, it is harder to do anything with him at the start than with the one who has brought criminality upon himself, as it were. In the first place, he has committed crime because he could not help it, but in the second place he has sinned to satisfy some demand of his physical or mental nature. In the first place the desire to do wrong has been born in the soul, but in the second place the soul takes no part in the wrong doing and frequently grieves to realize that its power is unrecognized and unheeded by the prevailing nature of the one who sins for his ambitions or for possessions. There are no helpless cases, however, in spirit life. Not even those who must be confined in the dark sphere and surrounded by a circle of fire to keep them from doing wrong are hopeless. All may be led to higher consciousness and realization by the light of divine love. The lower spheres are interesting because of the great work that is going on in their midst. They are, perhaps, of greater interest to those who are interested in reform movements and the improvement of the race in a spiritual, moral, and intellectual sense. The lower spheres I found very much like the earth. The inhabitants were not yet spiritualized, consequently their tendencies were still somewhat physical. Some of them were peaceable, others were rebellious at the sudden change that had brought them into a life where every act and the motive that prompted it were known to those who dwelt there. It was poor satisfaction to go to the earth to deceive, steal, or take life, and in entire majority of cases those who had spent their lives in committing sin began to realize ere long that there was more comfort and happiness in living good and noble lives. Every encouragement was given them by those who sought to bring about their reformation. At first they did not care to mingle with the angelic beings who came from the higher spheres to help them. Their 47 contrast between spirit and angel was so marked that it created inharmony in the mind of the undeveloped one. But gradually he came to realize that only good was intended, and at last the spirit of kindliness prevailed and the worked one was made tractable to the kindly ministrations of the child of God who had attained a state of angelhood. Angelic beings and spirits could not dwell together in the same sphere, as it would cause inharmony, but the former could come from their beautiful homes in the heavenly land to the spheres where dwelt the wicked and undeveloped of God's children. They could tell the latter of the possibilities they might attain if they would repent and be good, and they could even invite them to their beautiful homes above and thereby give them an incentive to make something out of their lives that would help them to be stronger, wiser, purer, and better. When I first passed to the higher life and learned of the wonderful possibilities, I felt the desire to know what manner of work those who had figured in the world's progress were performing from time to time. It has been my pleasure many times since, to visit famous people in their homes and to mingle freely with them until I have learned to know them very well. I have found them interesting and charming. I have heard them express themselves in relation to all movements affecting the progress of humanity as well as those that retard it. Although they have passed beyond the pale of physical life, they are as much interested as though they were still of the earth. Many of them, in one sense, are still of the earth, for they go daily to the earth plane to seek out those who are endeavoring to take up the work where they themselves left it off. I had a most delightful interview with Frances A. Willard. At her beautiful home in the seventh sphere, I found her to be a powerful spirit in reform movements of earth and the spirit world. She was just as earnest and positive in her work as she had ever been when an inhabitant of the earth plane. Still determined to wipe out the curse of the liquor question, she informed me that she visited the earth plane daily, influencing and impressing those who were carrying on the work of prohibition. At night, upon the astral plane, she lectured to leaders of the temperance movement, whose bodies were in a condition of sleep. The impressions produced on the mind of the spirit by this powerful woman here in many cases worked out for good in the reform movements of the world. Two mighty movements for the world's good that Frances A. Willard has been endeavoring to bring about since she passed to the higher life are the temperance cause and the higher progress of women. The time will come, she declared emphatically, when the people of the world will be forced to acknowledge that liquor possesses no food value and that its use as a medicine has done more harm than good, and that thousands of helpless beings, who have been cursed from creation and birth, allow the inheritance they possess to a state of intoxication in one or both parents. To those who passed a spirit life with the curse of liquor upon them, Frances A. Willard acts as a ministering angel. She watches over them and endeavors to help them overcome the taste which a lifetime in an intemperate body has brought about. She has helped to raise in the first three spheres of the spiritual world institutions where intemperate spirits may be helped to overcome their undeveloped condition, due in many cases to the curse of intemperance. Honors that have been bestowed upon this noble woman by the God, powers of the higher world have only served to make stronger her character, and in the present day she is instrumental in bringing about much that is good and helpful to the world. Chapter 7. In the spiritual and celestial worlds. I think this thought always comes to those who have been interested in the world's noted people who have passed on to higher life. I wonder what manner of work they are carrying on in the new sphere of existence. It has been my pleasure and privilege, during the 2 years I have been in higher life, to interview many of the world's noted people of both sexes. I will speak of a few who have impressed me with more than an ordinary interest. The homes of these people I have always found open to the interested. The public receptions held frequently are open to all inhabitants of the fifth sphere and up. Those below the fifth can only come by special invitation, and they must always be accompanied by the one who invites them. They must return to their own sphere after the reception, and not be permitted to linger in the realm of their angels, since they are spiritual beings and have not attained the developed state of those dwelling in the higher spheres. Grand receptions and public affairs are not confined solely to those who have figured in the world's higher work, for there are wonderfully gifted souls who have been reared in heavenly life. Among them are poets, artists, sculptors, musicians, inventors, scientists, public speakers, lecturers, singers, and those endowed with peculiar gifts that the world knows not of. One reception that impressed me particularly with its wonderful charm was held at White Villa, the beautiful home of an operatic singer, a star performer in Wagner's cast of players in the celestial sphere. This grand being and his charming companion had developed and unfolded from infancy in the celestial life. They had never been to the earth plane, so they knew nothing that was unpleasant or inharmonious. The name of the singer was Carmelo and that of his companion Florentine. They both wore the long, flowing, white spiritual robes of the celestial, and they were both beautiful beyond expression. He was tall and fair, with a wealth of tawny gold hair. She was small, with nut, brown hair and eyes greater than and had a most engaging personality. White Villa was a magnificent estate, several miles in extent, which seemed of transparent crystal. There were hanging gardens of rare flowers, beautiful fountains tossing up rainbow spray, and birds of brilliant plumage, making the air melodious with song. All attending the receptions at White Villa were invariably clothed in white, the white sparkling raiment of the celestials. If they had not yet attained a state of angelhood, they were celestials for the time, and as such they wore white raiment, in accordance with the higher law of the spirit. The two charming beings, Carmelo and Florentina, received the guests, giving each and every one a personal welcome. There were no formal introductions, but each one made himself acquainted with the others, and, as a result, the time passed very pleasantly indeed. There we met such artists as Mancacci, Rosa Bonheur, Rubens, Da Vinci, Titian, Murillo, Van Dyck, and others. Famous writers were there: Shakespeare, Dickens, Longfellow, Tennyson, Emerson, Thackeray, Holmes, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Kate Field, and others too numerous to mention. The great scientists, Zollner, Faraday, and Thales, were there, and master musicians, Wagner, Beethoven, Mozart, Mendelssohn, Schubert, Liszt, Chopin, and Handel, also magnificent singers, Jenny Lind, M. Rabbit, Paper, Rosa, and Carrerio. Each of these great people gave freely of their powers. They knew what the people wanted, and, as their time was not limited, they sang, played, recited, and talked again and again. While the entertainment was going on in one part of the great building, in other parts the guests were passing the time in a social way. No small talk or gossip was indulged in, there was no place for it and no desire for it among these gifted people and their friends. What would the people of earth think, I wonder, to know that they could stand face to face with the gentle Longfellow and hear him recite his latest poem, or listen to Emma Abbott sing some of the old time favorites as well as the new operatic selections of heaven. I had the pleasure of listening to Wagner upon this occasion. He talked of his latest achievement in grand opera, and wanted all those present to attend the first performance in his grand opera hall. His latest work was founded upon a recent order of the higher kingdom and was known as Leonardo, the Knight of the Golden Key. Camelot and Florentina, our host and hostess, were to sing the leading parts. With what an absorbing interest the hours went by. After the gifted people had entertained the vast audience, the host and hostess invited their guests to pass through the many beautiful rooms and the buildings connected with their villa, which were dedicated to a number of the higher arts and sciences. There was a magnificent gallery of art, containing wonderful treasures in the way of sculpture and pictures. There was a fine laboratory, where we were invited to witness some electrical tests by Thales and Faraday. Upon this occasion I met many distinguished people, who invited me to their beautiful homes. Before the time came for the guests to depart, the gifted Carmelo presented each one with a beautiful little gift as a souvenir of the occasion. These gifts were miniature reproductions of White Villa, set with splendid jewels. Page 57, Chapter 8. In the spiritual and celestial worlds. It is pleasant to recall the experiences that have come to me during my 2 years in the land of the angels. There has been no confusion so far in my life in heaven, no disappointed hopes or ambitions. I have had plans for those of earth who were dear to me that have not materialized as I would like to have had them. I know this, however, that all that has been planned for those dear to me by the higher powers must be brought out to the complete satisfaction of all parties concerned. And so, as the days go by, I am hopeful and happy, for I know that the near future contains much concerning plans that are of interest to me. I had been but a short time in spirit life when an organization of influential people of the other life was perfected arid called the Temple Society. Many of the most gifted and powerful beings from the different spheres of immortal life were at the head of this organization. I learned that the society extended far up into kingdoms beyond the celestial sphere, and, while visiting God's kingdom and the kingdom of the blessed, I had the pleasure of attending the conventions of this society. Each time that I was called to these higher realms of being, I was made the honored guest of the Temple Society. The object of the organization was the building of the Temple of Light on the earth. Every branch of the society appointed angelic and spiritual beings to organize temple societies on the earth in different communities. The work carried on would be entirely spiritual in its nature until its influence had grown to the extent that material minds were conscious of some great plan at work concerning the building of a mighty temple. It was not so much the question of the world's knowing the plan. The acceptance of the plan by the people of certain communities was the desired point to be gained. And so the development of the idea was noted with interest by the leaders of the organization. The spiritual temple societies sent to work in different parts of the world made their annual reports to the organization in the higher world. Progress in a material sense was not rapid, but those appointed to carry out such a work understood the law, and they knew that they would, no doubt, be obliged to exercise much patience and persistence before the minds of the people could be made receptive to the building of a temple of light on the earth. The progress of the work of temple representatives on the earth was carefully noted by the organizers above, and it was shown just what parts of the country would be favorable to the idea of erecting a temple of light. It was shown that, with the proper material leaders, certain towns and cities of the United States would accept the idea and plan the work of erecting such a structure when the idea was made known in a material sense. Other communities, it was shown, would be very slow in taking up the idea and would never lend their aid in the carrying out of such an enterprise until the others had taken the initiative and had proved it to be a practicable idea. The idea was that, in the beginning, there should be one organizer or leader upon the earth. Then, as the work grew and unfolded, there would be material representatives to carry on the work in the United States and in foreign countries. The plan was perfected in every detail in a spiritual sense. It was expected, however, that it would require time to perfect it in a material sense, but never once did those chosen to represent the spiritual temple society abandon the idea of the ultimate success of their work upon the earth plane. Since I was connected with the leader of this great plan, I was given the appointment of spiritual recorder of the work carried on by the spiritual and angelic representatives. This was but one of the many duties of my life. I found the work pleasant and interesting and not at all conflicting with the other lines of duty that, by special appointment, were meant. It seemed that every duty and pleasure of my life had its own particular place and was carried out by a more perfect system than I had ever known in material life. I felt so well, so strong and happy that it was a pleasure to live and partake of the wonderful privileges that the Creator had given to me. I had evidently been created for a busy life, for I wanted to be busy in the midst of pleasure, and found my greatest happiness in helping others to be happy, and in planning out something that would be helpful to the companion by whose side I had journeyed for many years. I liked to feel that for his sake I had gone on to the higher life, that I might be able to help him in his great work, so that many, seeking for higher truth, might be led to the light. Chapter 9. In the spiritual and celestial worlds, great minds of the higher life have paid tribute of a sublime character whom the world knows as the Christ.